Now, here's the problem with that. It's not always what you want to do or what you think is the ideal thing. Some people are just waiting for the prime privilege to come by. And what you do is you miss many opportunities to do something for the Lord because they come by many times as work, hard work, something that maybe you would not prefer to do. But it is a privilege to get to serve the Lord. Numbers chapter number 13. I'm going to start reading in verse number 1 of Numbers chapter 13. Verse number 1, the Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. And these were their names." And he gave them the names, and then we're not going to read those right now. Let's go down to verse number 17. The Bible says, "And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, Get you up this way southward, and go up into the mountain, and see the land what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds. And what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not. And be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land." Now, the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. Let's pray. Lord, I love you. I thank you for saving me. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be in your house here tonight. And Lord, true that you've been good to us, and we thank you for it. Help me now, Lord, I ask, and humbly ask you as I preach, I ask for your touch and a fresh anointing, Lord, that your people would get something, be a help and encouragement to them here tonight, Lord, that we would not leave the same that we came in. But, Lord, we've been drawn closer to you and strengthened, encouraged to go on and do exactly what you'd have us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go to, we're in Numbers 13. We're going to read a few more verses down, verse number 26. The Bible says, "And they went and came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel, under the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. I don't believe that was actually true. Everybody they saw was somebody of a great stature. It's amazing how things begin to grow and exaggerate when you're trying to prove your point. Verse 33. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. Chapter 14, verse 1 says, And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And the end of verse 2 says, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. And you know the story, part of what we read there is the story of the 12 spies. It is time, God says it's time to go into Canaan. It's the land that he had promised to Abraham and Jacob and Isaac. He said, It's now time for you to go and possess this land. They sent 12 spies in, and 10 of them came back, and as a little kid's song, 10 were bad and 2 were good. 10 were unbelieving, 10 were doubtful, 10 magnified the troubles and the problems, and 2, Joshua and Caleb, said, We can go in and take this land. But you know what happened? The people said, We can't go in. And so they turned back, and as a result, they wandered for 40 years. I want you to go to the book of Joshua, chapter number 2. We're going to come back to this passage. Joshua, chapter number 2. And we're going to look at 2 different spies that went in. This is about 40 years later. In Joshua chapter number 2, we'll read verse number 1. Joshua chapter number 2, Verse number one, the Bible says, "And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, 'Go view the land, even Jericho.' And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there." And for time's sake, I'm not going to read the chapter, but they go and they lodge in Rahab's house. The men come looking for her. She hides them. And she tells the people how the fear of God is on them. And they tell her, "If you hang out a scarlet thread when God destroys this city, you and any of your family that's in this house will be saved." She sends them out to the mountains. She tells them, "Hide 3 days." They hid 3 days and they come back to Joshua. And let's look in verse number 23 of chapter 2. It says, "So the two men returned and descended from the mountain and passed over and came to Joshua, the son of Nun, and told him all things that befell them. And they said to Joshua, 'Truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us.'" So you have 12 spies that are sent, 10 are unbelieving, and they spread discouragement and doubt and even rebellion among the whole congregation of Israel. And because of that, they wander 40 years here in Joshua. You have 2 spies that go. They come back. They give a very simple report. And they said, "Truly, the Lord hath delivered them into our hands." And the next chapter you have, they're getting ready to cross Jordan. And before you know it, they're in Jericho. They've destroyed Jericho. And they're on the way of a book in the book of Joshua, victory in the promised land. And what I want to do tonight is I want to just compare these two groups of spies, the 12 spies, with the 2 spies. And some of the things we're going to look at are just practical things that we can learn. Some of these we're going to just pull some spiritual, maybe lessons we can learn from them. Some of them are not going to be doctrinal. Not everything's going to be doctrinal here, but I think we can learn some things about the 2 good spies and not the 12. Although the 12 did have 2 good spies, did they not? It's interesting, the 12 spies, the Bible gives us their names. In Numbers 13, he says, "Of the tribe of Reuben, Shammua, the son of Zachar." So with each name, he gives us their name, their father, and their tribe. He said, "The tribe of Simeon, Shaphat, the son of Hori. The tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. The tribe of Issachar was Igal, the son of Joseph. Ephraim was Joshua, the son of Nun. Tribe of Benjamin was Paltai, the son of Raphu." It's quite some names here. You realize the only names out of these we ever use are Joshua and Caleb, right? Why? Because they were the good ones. They were the ones that had a little bit of spirituality and faith about. Nobody's naming their kids Shaphat or Shammua or Paltai. Of Zebulun, tribe of Zebulun was Gadiel, the son of Sodai. The tribe of Joseph, namely of the tribe of Manasseh, was Gadai, the son of Susai. Of the tribe of Dan was Amiel, the son of Gamali. The tribe of Asher, Sether, the son of Michael. Of the tribe of Naphtali, Nabai, the son of Vophsi. Of the tribe of Gad, Guel, the son of Machi. The name of the father, name of their tribe was given. You say, "Why do you just read us their names?" Well, because most of you don't even know what those names are. I don't remember. I remember 2 of them, Joshua and Caleb. But it's interesting, the 12 are named, the 2 spies in Joshua, their names are never given. But by the names here in Numbers 13 being given, think about this. These men have nowhere to hide for all time and eternity. You know, I read you the names of 10 spies that did not believe God. They discouraged the people. They ended up dying. They didn't actually wander. They died in a plague and they go off. Their legacy is, they were the ones that were used to turn the entire nation against what God wanted them to do. They turned them to murmur and rebel against God, and they died, and their children had to receive what God had for them. What a way to be penned in scriptures for all eternity. Listen, another thing this tells us is when you live, you do not just live for yourself. You read the names of their fathers, and you know what you think? You don't think good about their fathers. Now, we don't know if their fathers were good or bad. We don't know. Some of these fathers are never named any other place. A few of them are. But some of them, the only time they're in the Bible is that their son was one of the spies. And in the Bible, sometimes a father, that could be a father, a grandfather, a great-grandfather, if you study it out. But their fathers are named and their tribes are named. And what I'm saying is, think of the shame that they brought on their families, the shame they brought on their tribes. I'm telling you, you know what you and I have? We have a name. And you have parents and you have grandparents and you have a church, amen, and I'm telling you, you have a God that saved you in every action you do and everything you don't do and every word you say and the testimony you're building and the reputation that you have amongst others, it is either a blessing on them or it brings shame to your parents and your church and to your God. Your actions matter. And it shines either well or poorly on those who have had you and have had a part in your life. You're a testimony, whether good or bad, and you represent your family and your church and your God. When you go out and you live this life, all of us here tonight, we have a testimony. Listen, it ought to be a good one. But the other two spies, they don't have a name. Don't know their names, you don't know their fathers, their families, you don't know their tribes. You say, why don't you think? Well, what I'm gleaning out of that, and I'm not saying this is doctrine, I'm just saying it wasn't about them. These two spies, see, they were nameless. Some have a problem being nameless. Some have a problem understanding the principle that it's not about us. We don't know who they are. They didn't bring honor to anybody but God. They submitted to Joshua. You know what they were willing to do? They were willing to serve in secrecy. See, when the 12 spies came back, it appears to me, if you read the story, that they're talking to the whole congregation. That was a mistake. When the two spies came back, said they said unto Joshua. It seems more like their meeting with Joshua is a little bit private. They go back and tell Joshua what's going on. Next chapter, Joshua's ready. Go over Jordan. The 12, they went and they told everybody. And boy, that turned into... You know what that was? That was a chaotic moment right there. I mean, you talk about... You got people whining and murmuring and complaining and wanting to go back to Egypt. Saying, oh God, that we would die here. And here's Caleb and Joshua trying to steal the people. You understand, at that time, there's about 600,000 men. And so if you got as many women and two children for every adult, you're talking over 2 million people, and they're arguing and they're screaming and they're trying to get each other's attention. They're trying to, I mean, can you imagine the confusion? But when these two men come back, they go and they serve in secrecy. They're willing to serve unnamed and unnoticed. They did not need their names in the headlines. They did not have to speak to the whole nation. They did not need everybody to know what they were doing and what they had done. And they didn't have to give a full report to everybody. They just gave it to Joshua. And I wonder if you and I are willing to serve unnamed and unnoticed. Are we willing to do that which no one else knows about? Or do others need to know about what we do? So 12 spies were named. The two here in Joshua are not named. Not only their names, let me look second of all at their sending. I want you to go to Deuteronomy chapter number 1. I want you to see here what was behind these spies being sent. Deuteronomy chapter number 1. And we're going to start reading in verse number 21. Just comparing these two groups of spies. Deuteronomy chapter 1. And this is Moses speaking here. Chapter 1, verse 1 says, these be the words which Moses spake. So he's speaking. And he says in verse number 21, Moses speaking, he said, behold, the Lord thy God has set the land before thee. Go up and possess it as the Lord God thy fathers has said unto thee. Fear not, neither be discouraged. And so this, what Moses is talking about right here is, if you look in verse 19, they had left Horeb and it's time. They're at Kadesh Barnea. And now he's telling them it's time to go into the land. Verse 22, and ye came near unto me, every one of you, speaking to the people, and said, we will send men before us, and they shall search us out the land and bring us word again by what way we must go up and into what cities we shall come. And the saying pleased me well, and I took 12 men of you, one of a tribe. And they turned and went up into the mountain and came into the valley of Eshcol and searched it out. And he went down and he tells the story of the 12 spies. Now, Numbers 13, it says the Lord told Moses and the spies here in Deuteronomy 1. Moses is remembering the history. He's telling the story how they came to Moses. Moses told the people, said, it's time to go over. And the people say, hey, let's send men. Let's basically send men out to spy out. And so Moses said, that sounded good to me, and that's what we did. And some would say, oh, the Bible contradicts itself there. I don't believe so. It's very similar to the story of King Saul. The people said, we want a king. And God finally told Samuel, said, give him a king and give him Saul. God picked the king. God told him who to have. But it was the people that wanted a king. Here in Deuteronomy 1, the people wanted to send spies. Why'd they want to send spies? What, they didn't trust God? They didn't believe that the land was as it was? Did they need some kind of confirmation from another man to tell them it was okay? Moses, the man of God, speaking on behalf of God, said, it's time. The people said, let me double check on that, Moses. You know what they should have done? They should have said, it's time. Let's go. They said, no, we're going to send 12 men. You know what they thought? I got a better idea. Let's just put an extra layer of protection. Let's make sure this passes the smell test of my human reasoning. And let's pick out some men and let's send them over. And the Bible clearly says, I believe God picked those 12 men out. I don't believe God picked 12 losers. Two of them were Joshua and Caleb. You think he picked two good men and 10 rotten eggs? No, I believe those other men at the time appeared to be good men, but they weren't. But these people here, they're sending. They were sent out by Moses because of the people after the people said, this is what we want. Instead of just going into the promised land, they wanted men to search it out first. Now, listen, on face value to the human mind, this seems like a good idea. I mean, we can't just go into a strange land. I mean, we don't know the layout. We don't have maps. We don't know where the rivers are, the roads are, exactly where the coordinates of the cities. We got to have some more info on this. Well, I'm not against gathering more info, but when God tells us to do something, we don't need more info. That is information enough. I mean, you think about it, there's over 2 million people plus animals that they're going to be bringing in this land. I mean, they think in their mind they got to know some things. The problem with it, they weren't wholly trusting God to guide them and to direct them. In other words, they did not believe God could show them where the water was and show them which city to go against first and how. I mean, the same God that led them through the wilderness by pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire and parted the Red Sea, they did not trust that He could guide them in a land they had never been in before. And boy, if that's not true of saved people today, God tells us, take a step of faith into the unknown, something we've never done. We say, whoa, I need to send some spies. I need to investigate. I need to talk to everybody and their brother. I got to search the internet. I got to read some blogs on this, and I got to see what everybody on Sermon Audio says about this. I can't just trust God. I can't give God just lay my whole lot at the feet of God. I got to figure out in my mind, I got to make sure this is best. Oh, we don't need 12 spies. They've been better off just going over. Many times, instead of trusting God, we get involved and we think we're going to help out. We don't help out. Listen, when man gets involved, things usually go wrong pretty quick. Man, in all of his wisdom, still just makes a big mess of things. So God had told Moses which men to send, but boy, it was the people's idea. The two spies in Joshua 2, they were sent by Joshua. The people didn't ask for it. And so they were just sent. They weren't sent because of the people's request. I want you to see number three, their search. The 12 spies were sent throughout all of Canaan. They went to cities. They went to rivers. They went to the mountains. They were given, listen, in their duty or whatever you want to call this, they were given a lot of liberty. He said, go search out the land. And it did. Said they went into cities. They searched. They saw the rivers and they went into the mountains. That's a lot of liberty. But you know what they proved themselves to be with all that liberty? Not trustworthy. They got to search for 40 days. You ever go on a 40-day trip? They were gone 40 days. That's a long time. 40 days to search the land. Check the cities out. Look at the rivers. Check the mountains. See the plains where the fruit grows. They went all over. I mean, 40 days, even on foot, you can get around. It's a lot of liberty. It was for a long time. They were given a lot of liberty. The two spies and Joshua. Joshua said, go to Jericho, one city. And if you look at it, I don't believe they're there. I believe they got in Rahab's house. The people look for them. I'm not sure they're there more than a day or two. And then they leave and hide in the mountains for 3 days. And then they come back. And they've only been gone maybe a week at the most, and probably not even that. And they were only in Jericho, I believe, a day or two. Because those people were hunting for them. So they waited till it got dark. I believe that was the first night they got there. That's not a lot of liberty. They were told to go to one city, and they were only there a day or two. And the rest of the time they spent just trying to get back. They didn't see all the land. They didn't go see the rivers and the cities and the mountains. You say, why? I don't know if there's an actual reason, but I tell you what, there's a lot less chance of their hearts being discouraged and afraid. They didn't go and see all the walled cities. They saw one, Jericho. And they met somebody who admitted that they were already afraid of the people of God. You know what some people are? Some are given more liberty than others. Some are given liberty. You know what they prove with it? They prove they're not responsible. Everybody wants liberty. They want to be let go for 40 days and search the whole land. Don't put restrictions on me. Don't tell me I only get one day in one city. I want the 40 days. I mean, if you're signing up for a package, you're not going for one day to one city. You're going for 40 days all over the country. We want the liberty, but many times our responsibility and our character doesn't measure up to the liberty that we want. You know, it's like young people, as they grow older, you know what they want from mom and dad? They want liberty. They want the allowance to be able to do things and privileges they didn't have when they were younger. And I'm not talking about sinful things. You know, they want to stay up to 8:40 instead of 8:30 now. You know, big things like that. But many times their level of maturity and responsibility does not match like the 12 spies. What did the 12 spies do with all that liberty? Well, 10 of them, they proved to not be trustworthy. Listen, I believe it's in the Word of God. It's hard to know people. You can't just look at somebody and watch them for a little bit and really know them. You know how you know somebody? You want to get to know somebody, give them some responsibility. And you give them a little bit of liberty. Let them do something. Give them a little bit of power or position and watch them. And you'll learn a lot about somebody. And so the two spies, they didn't have it. I wonder if we're willing to be given less than another is given. Are we willing to have a smaller part, maybe in the ministry or something to do for God? Not that God sees it as smaller, but we definitely do. There's things we think are small and we think are bigger than other things. And some would not be content to be the two spies. They would have thrown a fit. Said, Joshua, the last time we sent spies, they had 40 days and they got to see the whole country. Joshua, I want liberty. No, we need to be content with whatever it is. Are we willing to have small parts? Or do we have requirements and demands for God, the work of God, and for the church? Listen, and you think about what Joshua did, it was very practical. There was the first city he wanted to take was Jericho, and that's the only place he sent them to. He sent them to Jericho, and they came back, and once they went in and defeated Jericho, he never sent out spies anymore. So their search, the 12, had much more liberty than the other two. Then let's look at their report that they brought. The Bible says this in Numbers chapter 13, verse number 32, speaking of the 10 of the 12. It says, and they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched under the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. They brought up an evil report. The first thing they did, it says in verse 27, Numbers, the first thing they go back says, they told Moses, they told him and said, we came in the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. They told him about the land, which is what Moses had wanted them to do. You know what they basically said? It said, it's just like God told us it was. They said it flowed with milk and honey, and then they said, this is the fruit. They brought back grapes and pomegranates and figs. And, you know, they had to carry them on sticks. They were so big. So they had to prove the fruit, and it flowed with milk and honey. And they gave the report of how the land was. They said, it's just like God said it was. But then there's a verse, and it's in Numbers chapter number 13, in verse 28. And then it said, they said, nevertheless, if they had just stopped there. And you know what they were doing up to this point? They were just giving the information of the land. And it was all good. But then they said, nevertheless. And now we have problems. In spite of God's word, God's promises, and God's commands, there were some things that in their minds, they were a problem. This was a problem. We cannot go farther. You cannot just take the good news. We told you there are problems here. You need to know about these. Boy,
in that Christians today?
You know how many Christians live? They live in the nevertheless. Well, they say there's problems here. I know I should do that. But nevertheless, you don't understand there's problems here. Yeah. And I need to tell you these problems because these are going to justify my lack of Christianity, my lack of spirituality. This is going to justify my rebellion against God, my spreading a bad attitude, a spirit of fear and discouragement among the people. You need to understand the problems. You don't understand them. I do. That's why I'm going to act like I act. That's why I'm going to speak like I speak. That's why I'm not going to do what I'm supposed to do. Because there's problems that you need to know about. And there's some of us, we think that and we act that. We say there's problems. And that's why I'm not going to do what I'm supposed to do. And we justify wrong living because of problems. What are they talking about? Problems. They're talking about walled cities, giants in the land, people that see them as grasshoppers, even though we don't know if that's really how they saw them. But these to them were problems. And they were excuses or reasons why they could not do what God told them to do. And they could not be what God wanted to be. Victorious conquerors. But they said, I can't because of problems. How many Christians are not victorious conquerors as God would have us to be? Because there's problems that we say we can't get over. You know what many do? They spend their lives wandering in a spiritual wilderness because of these excuses, these problems that they found. Because of it, these 12 spies, what did they do? They discouraged the hearts of their brethren. They turned their hearts against God and what God wanted them to do. I'd hate to do that. I would hate to turn somebody's heart who wants to do right and turn it against God to have a desire to do wrong because I'm backslidden, because I've got a problem, because I'm rebellious and I lack faith and I've allowed these problems to be bigger than God in my life. We hear somebody do, I can't believe you did that. You don't know about this person? What about that person? So what about, they named all these nations. So what? Who cares what nation? They had God on their side. Didn't matter if it's where the Canaanites and Amorites, didn't matter. They had God. People say, oh, you don't know what that person's done to me. Well, you're supposed to have God on your side. You don't know what I'm facing. Hey, you're supposed to have God on your side. They negatively affected the rest of the nation. Listen, speech is powerful. Your attitude and your spirit, it's contagious and it's powerful. People come in with a bad attitude and a bad spirit, they can affect. You know, it's easier for a bad attitude to affect a good one than a good one to affect a bad. It takes like 19 good ones to help one bad. And one bad can affect 20 good ones. They affected a whole nation. That doubtful, discouraged, rebellious, no faith attitude. They did more. You know what they're supposed to do? They're supposed to report about the land. In other words, tell the facts. Where's the rivers? Where's the cities? How's the fruit look? But they stopped and they moved themselves in the place where they began to try to convince the people what they should do. Listen, I'm not trying to be mean here tonight, but it is not your job to tell others what to do. We can't talk somebody into getting saved. You know what you're supposed to do? Preach the truth. The truth is, it's facts. Christ died. He was buried. He rose again. You're lost. You need to be saved. You can't talk people into getting saved. Even in the church, I'm saying parents with children, you tell them what to do. You're not to tell others what to do. Here, they stopped reporting, and now they're going to try to convince the people how they should live. You know what they did? These 10 spies, they got out of their place. They try to overcome, usurp Moses' authority. And they said, now the 10, we're trying to tell the people what to do. We can't go. Don't go. We can't go. That wasn't their place. That wasn't their responsibility. They were spies. They were not a convention of men that were going to pour their wisdom out. They were just spies. They went, they saw, they told what they saw. They didn't have the discernment or the knowledge to tell everybody what to do. It wasn't their place. They were not supposed to take a boat if they were to go. God had told them to go. This was not whether or not to go. This was simply supposed to be in preparation to go. Some people, you give them an inch, they take a mile. They tried to usurp the authority, God's authority in Moses. The two spies, and Joshua read it, they brought a good report. It doesn't use the word good report, but this is what they said. Truly, the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. In the prior verse, it said they told Joshua all that happened. They told him the story about Rahab. You know what they were doing? Giving a report. Reporting facts. This is what happened. Joshua, we found this harlot's house and the thread and being hid and the mountains for 3 days. And this is what she said. I like the two spies in Joshua 2:24. They speak in the past tense. They say, truly, the Lord hath delivered. You know what they told Joshua? It's a done deal. You're right, Joshua. They're defeated. God has given them to us. The 10, oh, we can't go. The 2, it's already done. It's as good as done. Do you see the difference in the attitude, the spirit, the difference in their faith? They didn't try to sway the people not to go. They didn't try to sway people to go. They simply told Joshua that they were supposed to tell him. They said, it's as good as ours. Hey, I wonder how our report is. If someone came to spy out our life, oh boy, that might be scary. You say, why spy? Because we're Baptists, we're good at hiding things. We're good at putting on. Oh yeah, we put on all right. Would they have a good report or an evil report? You know, the report also is largely, or partly I should say, how you see things. I mean, Joshua and Caleb saw the exact same things the other 10 saw. The 10 gave an evil report, not Joshua and Caleb. I mean, those two spies that went in Joshua chapter 2, they saw maybe, though. I mean, the one could have came back and said, oh man, it's terrible, we could never take it. The walls, you know how thick the walls of Jericho are? But he didn't. But it's largely in how you see things. We could preach about your report. This is interesting. I'll give you this and we'll finish up. Or go to the last point, I should say. Or maybe second last. But in 3 John, John's writing 3 John. It's only got one chapter. But in verse 12, he says this. He says, Demetrius hath good report of all men. Isn't that interesting? I didn't know who he was. Now you read the commentaries, you'd get 20 guesses. Not mentioned anymore. But he just felt impressed to say, Demetrius hath good report of all men. That means everybody who knew Demetrius had to give a good report of him. Wow. That's amazing. Do you think everybody that knows you, if they, without you knowing, and sworn to secrecy, or not secrecy, but sworn to the truth, were to give a report of you and I, that everybody that knows us would give a good report? That's interesting. That man, he must have been an amazing person. I was thinking about that, reading about that, trying to figure out who he was. I don't know. But you know what I thought about Demetrius? He must have been a spiritual man. I doubt he walked in the flesh a whole lot. He must have had an excellent spirit. Because you know, and you know this, you can do right. But boy, if you got a not good spirit about it, people aren't going to like that. But everybody had a good report of him. He must have been awful Christ-like. Willing to forgive injustices done to him. He probably wasn't a bitter person, I'm guessing. I'm guessing he didn't treat others the way that they treated him. But I'm guessing that he had some charity and grace about him. And a good report of all men. I thought that was interesting. And then looking back at these spies, not only the report they gave, but look at the faith or their lack of faith. The 12 spies, they doubted, or the 10 of the 12, they doubted the word of God. They allowed circumstances and people to cause them to fear and despair. They were carrying in their hands that fruit to proof that God's word was true, and yet they doubted. They rebelled against what God wanted them to do. They allowed fear to control them instead of having courage. They ran on their emotions instead of following the truths of the word of God. Not only did they doubt the word of God, they doubted the power of God. They saw the negatives, the problems, the people, the walled cities, the giants as problems. And they even saw potential problems. Some people, they're experts in seeing problems and potential problems and potential problems and potential maybe, perhaps, possibly one day, maybe problems. We don't need more of them type people. Discernment, yes. But they doubted the power of God. This is what they said. The people be strong. The cities are walled. The cities are very great. It's filled with, and then they named all these nations. We're not able to go up against the people. They're stronger than we. We are grasshoppers in their sight. Never once did they say, the 10 spies, God is able. Never one time. All they saw was the problems. The two spies, Joshua and Caleb, you could say as well, and in Joshua, they believed the word of God. They didn't doubt. They had great hope. That hope gave them great faith, and it gave them great zeal about what God. Caleb and Joshua said this, let us go up at once. I mean, they were ready. They had seen everything. They were ready to go. They didn't say, let's wait a day. Let's pray. They said, let's go right now. I like that attitude. The two spies, they had confidence in the power of God, that God was able to perform what he had promised. In their mind, I said this, but it was already a victory. They weren't waiting. It was already a victory. It just had to be shown. Last point. Aren't you glad? How did it end up for the spies? Well, because of the 12, really 10 of the 12, the Jews had to wander for 40 years in the wilderness, largely thanks to those 10 spies. Every adult died in that wilderness. You know, you think about 40 years wandering, you know what I think of? How much wasted time. And I think about our lives. I wonder how many people wander in the wilderness because of us, because of our lack of faith, because of our doubting the power of God, because of us magnifying the problems, not getting over things in our life. I wonder how many times maybe our kids or spouses or parents or whatever friends have to wander and are hindered because of how we live. Only their children and Joshua Caleb went into the promised land. The ten bad spies, they died in the plague. Numbers 14:37 says, even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land died by the plague before the Lord. Killed. God killed them in a plague. God spared Caleb and Joshua because they believed God. They had stood up against the crowd and they were not swayed by the unbelief and rebellion of the 10 spies. Listen, I'm telling you, folks, at some point you're going to have to decide you're going to do right no matter who does and who doesn't. And I say this as kindly as I can, but that means parents, if you get kids that decide they don't want to do right, you need to determine you're just going to do right. And young people, if you have parents who aren't going to do right, you need to decide you're just going to do right. And if you've got a friend in here that's one day going to decide not to do right, you need to decide you're going to do right no matter who does and who doesn't. I worry about some people. I never see them do right on their own. Never, ever one time see them do right on their own. Some of these young people, I only ever see them do right when they're made to do right. Well, at what point, at what age, at what stage of your life are you, as a 14 or 16 or 18-year-old or 20-year-old, going to say, you know what? I'm going to do right. The Bible says this. This is wrong. I'm going to stop doing that. Or the Bible says this and I'm not doing it. I'm going to do this because it's right. I don't care who does it. Listen, you can do that and still honor your parents. You can keep a good spirit about you. You can be right with God. Some adults have trouble doing right unless they've got a crowd doing right with them. You ought to be able to do right on your own. The two spies in Joshua, how'd they end up? Bible doesn't tell us. We don't know. They went into Jericho. God miraculously delivers it into their hands. Rahab is saved. God gave them the victory just like he had promised. And those two spies are forever tied to the story of Rahab getting in the line of Christ. You know what they left? We don't know their name. We don't know their families. We don't know their tribes. We don't know how long they lived. We don't know when they died, where they got buried. But we know this, they left a good testimony. They did what they had been sent to do. And in that, they had had faith in God. They simply did what they were sent to do. You know what 10 spies did? They didn't do what they were sent to do. And their life ended really tragically. How about us? I don't want to be like those 10 spies. I don't want to get out of my place. I don't want to doubt God. I don't want to doubt His power. I don't want to doubt His word. I don't want to have a bad influence on those around me. I want to just simply do what God has sent me to do. What my duty is, I want to know it, and I want to do it well. And I don't want to go any less, and I don't want to go any farther than what God has for me to do. Amen. Let's pray. Let's pray here tonight. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Give you a chance to pray.